guys can go ahead, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 15 is where I want to begin. Romans chapter 15. There's just one verse there in Romans that I want to read for our hearing while we are standing together. Romans chapter 15. If you would slip down to verse number 13. So we have been singing about this great God that we serve and talking about his peace. I think this scripture is fitting and appropriate for each one of us to embrace and to hold on to, because it speaks of God's desire and his will for you and me. God wants us to have peace. Amen. Amen. Helps you to know that he wants you to have peace. Because what he wants you to have, sometimes the enemy wants to take from you. And you need to be reminded that, no, this is what God's will and God's desire is for me. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says this. And if you haven't committed this verse to memory, I want to suggest to you that this is a good one to hide in your heart. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can I read that one again? That was good, wasn't it? It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with joy by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, may your word be fulfilled in our lives as you do what you have declared you desire to do. May everything be removed that is hindering, God, the move of your work, so that, God, we can experience your best for us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Speak now as we listen. Teach us and train us, equip us, so that, God, we can walk in righteousness and walk in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Though that is the scripture that we read from, when we talk about our message today being the Lord is our peace, I want to declare to you that true peace, only comes through Jesus Christ. True peace is only experienced through Jesus Christ. That scripture we read talks about how it is God's desire that you and I be filled with both joy and peace, and then that we have hope. Meaning that whatever it is, it might be that you are going through, that you are experiencing, God is saying, don't be so disturbed by it. Be hopeful to know that he desires that which is best for you. And most importantly, that he is with you and that he will see you through. This name of God, the Lord, our peace, is first mentioned in the book of Judges. It's found in Judges chapter 6, verse 24, where God reveals himself to a man by the name of Gideon. Gideon builds an altar unto the Lord, and he declares Jehovah, which means Lord, Yahweh, is our peace. That is his declaration because of what he had experienced with God. And so we get the revelation of God saying that he is peace because he had said to Gideon, peace be with you. I want to encourage you during the course of this week, hopefully later on this evening, that you would take a few moments and read Judges chapter 6 and chapter 7 as it talks about Gideon and this experience that he has with God. God shows up to Gideon in a troubled time in Gideon's life and in the life of the nation of God's people. God's people were being run over, taken advantage of, abused by a group of people called the Midianites. According to the description in Judges chapter 6, the Midianites would come up on the land during harvest time, and they would run over everything that the Israelites were hoping to reap from their time of harvest. They would bring all of their herds and cattle, livestock, everything that they had, and they would just decimate the land. Not only that, they would beat the people down such that they had fear in them and they had no hope. And all of that came about because the Israelites had disobeyed God's instructions to them, and they had begun to walk in a manner that disregarded who God was or what God had said. And as a result of that, God had basically removed his banner of protection that was around them. And this enemy then came up on them and brought havoc into their lives. They basically disturbed whatever peace existed. It was disturbed. On one occasion, it says that the angel of the Lord came down to a specific place and he began to speak to a man by the name of Gideon. The angel of the Lord sees Gideon because Gideon is in what is called a wine press and he is threshing wheat. And so he is in a wine press, not pressing grapes, because that's what happens in a wine press. They are pressing the grapes so that they can get the juice and create wine. He is in there and he is threshing wheat because he is trying to hide from the Midianites. One thing that happens when your peace is disturbed, when you're walking in fear, sometimes you want to hide from the oppressor. So he's there and he's threshing the wheat, and the angel of the Lord shows up to him and he has some words for him, and he says, "The Lord is with you." And then he describes him with this language. He doesn't call him Gideon. He says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Gideon then stops what he is doing in the threshing of his wheat, and he looks back at the one who has spoken to him, and in confusion, he says, "If the Lord is with us, then why is all of this happening to us?" Gideon expresses what you and I feel when our peace is disturbed. He expresses what you and I feel when the enemy of our soul comes up against us. He expresses what you and I feel when it seems like the wicked are having their way and evil is prevailing. You want to say, "Well, where are you, God? And if God, you are with me, then why is all of this taking place?" It's an expression that is true. And that's what I love about this, is that Gideon is able to speak truth to the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord then does not smack Gideon because he speaks truth. He asks a legitimate question. If God is with us, why is all of this going on? And to be perfectly honest, that's where we lose our peace. Amen. When we're in the middle of life, experiencing the challenges of life, and something comes our way that we did not expect, or something comes our way and we feel like it shouldn't, we don't deserve what we're getting, our peace is disturbed, and we're wondering, "Where are you, God? Where are you? Where are you right now? Because my peace is disturbed." disturbed. You and I know that there are many things that can disturb our peace. Isn't that right? Fear is normally the byproduct, but fear disturbs your peace. When you're in danger, when danger is around you, danger can disturb your peace. Amen? Evil people doing what they want to do, and there seems to be no one in to get them in check, can disturb your peace. Oh, y'all act like y'all don't, y'all act like y'all ain't never had your peace disturbed before. You remember a couple of summers ago, we entered in this nation into a period where the peace was disturbed, where civil disorder was disrupted. Remember that because there was this act of unbelievable disrespect for life, a man lost his life under the knee of a person in authority. And in response to all of that, peace was disturbed on every end of the continent. It wasn't just here in the United States that peace was disturbed, but everywhere you look, there were people coming out into the streets in protest against what their eyes had seen and in disbelief at what had happened. And it was because it was the picture of what looked like to be evil prevailing and no one doing anything about it. And as a result of that, it's like there was a loss of peace as there were protests that took place, and in some places rioting took place, and in some places just lots of activity took place because of that event that was really like the straw that broke the camel's back. Peace was disturbed because of that. Sometimes peace is disturbed because the peacekeepers are removed. You remember earlier this year when it was announced that the United States would be leaving Afghanistan? You remember the pictures that you saw about how that radical group began to take over that entire land, and how people, you remember the images of how people, as they had all of these flights leaving the country, how people were just kind of pressing in, and it was a disturbing picture as there was the absence of peace because the peacekeepers were being removed. I really think that was a picture of what will happen when the peacekeeper is going to be removed. We're going to talk about that more when we get to Revelations early next year. But when the Spirit of God, who is the peacekeeper, when he is removed, what is there going to be to keep peace in a world where people don't respect and honor God? God says that right now, he is holding back his wrath, and he is even restraining the evil one and allowing us to walk in peace because of the righteous. You righteous folks need to realize you got a lot of power, and you need to start exercising your power because of you. Because of righteousness, there is peace. Amen. Sometimes, you know, your peace is disturbed when you are experiencing financial difficulties. You ever been at that place where you don't know how the ends are going to connect, how the ends are going to meet? You know that can be a disturbing period of time. Amen? If you don't know where the next meal is coming from, or if you don't know if you've gotten that cutoff notice and you don't know how you're going to find the resources to make sure that your lights or your gas stays on, suddenly you are robbed of your peace. And so your peace is disturbed when sometimes things from without come in and impact your situation, your life. It can rob you of your peace. The unknown, the uncertainty robs you of your peace. Sometimes your peace is interrupted because you are being tormented by the enemy of your soul. The enemy of your soul will try and torment your mind so that you are robbed of your peace. But brothers and sisters, I just want to remind you that we have an opportunity to make a declaration that says, Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is my peace, and that my peace is found in Jesus. It doesn't mean that I'm not going through anything. What it means that in the middle of what I'm going through, I can still be at a place of peace, undisturbed, with the realization that at the end of this event, it's going to work out for my good. Amen? Amen. There is that scripture that many of us like in Romans 8:28, where all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and who have been called according to his purposes. That is the peace that you and I have. We apply that truth, understanding that I don't know how it's going to work out. But what I do know is this, the one that's working it out, it's going to work it out for my good. Amen. It doesn't mean that I may not go through some challenging experience, but I know that even my challenges are going to work out for my good. If I have to exercise my muscles at the end of the journey, I'm going to come out stronger than when I first went in, because he works it out for my good. So this angel of the Lord says to Gideon, I'm with you. Gideon says, where is the evidence of your being with me? Let me suggest to you, brothers and sisters, sometimes you can't always see the evidence of God with you. Amen. Sometimes that's what is called faith. Sometimes you've got to trust what God has declared and believe and know that if God said he is with you, he is not a man that he should lie, that he is actually with you. And even though you may not be able to see him, you can receive the results of his hand being with you. And though your external things may not change, internally you can settle down and be at rest and at peace. This word, peace, shalom, hence Jehovah Shalom, is a word that has interesting meanings throughout the Bible. It is a word that sometimes means the absence of conflict and strife. So peace, the absence of conflict and strife. So it's kind of like that opposite of war. When you think about somebody at war, you know that they are fighting. So when you think about peace, it is the absence of that. It is also the idea of you getting or receiving something peaceably or without a struggle. And so it's used in that sense, that context of there can be an exchange that takes place in a peaceable way, where you don't have to fight for a particular thing. It is the idea also that the Lord has provided for you and me, his people, to have peace or restored harmony with him. And that happens only through Jesus Christ. Only through Jesus Christ. So it is the absence of fear or the threat of harm, and it is thus a sense of security. So then peace then can be the opposite of harm or calamity and disaster. Then it is that word which is used to describe harmony with God, in which all a person's needs are met and the person experiences wholeness. So when you start thinking about this word peace, it has these varied nuances about it that shows up in different ways. Now, true peace only happens through Jesus Christ, which means that you and I can only experience true peace through Jesus Christ. If you receive the peace that is offered through Jesus Christ, you will be at peace with God, and also you will have peace with others in the family of God. Let me make that clear, because if you think you're going to have peace with everybody, I don't want to mislead you. I tell us often that we live in a hostile environment. If you are a citizen of the kingdom of God, this world is not your home, and this world is not your friend. Anytime you and I begin to stand for righteousness, which means we exercise and believe and stand on the same values of God, then this world is not going to be your friend, because what you and I see on a regular basis is that this world does not have the same value or the same standard as the kingdom of God. And God's standards are eternal. He doesn't change from one week to the next, from one year to the next, from one generation to the next. And what we discover is that in our worldly thinking, we change moment by moment, day by day, week by week, generation by generation. And if you're standing on the solid principles of God's standard, then you are going to be an enemy to this world system. And so I don't want to make you think that you're going to be at peace with everybody, because when you are standing and representing God's kingdom, you are an enemy to the world, and you are an enemy to the enemy of God, which is the devil himself. And therefore, you are going to have people, institutions, and situations that come against you to both disturb your peace and rob you of the opportunities that God has given you. So when I say that if you receive the peace of Jesus Christ, you're going to be at peace with God, and you will be at peace with the family of God, or with the citizens of God's kingdom. Psalm 133 and 1 says this: how sweet and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. God's desire is that you and I, his children, operate together in oneness and in peace with one another. The Apostle Paul exhorts us in many times through his writings. He says, if at all possible, live at peace with one another. And Jesus tells us the best way to do that is that if you and I will love one another with the kind of love that we have been loved with. He says, then that helps us then to experience the peace of God. And so if you and I are going to experience God's peace, we need to use God's strategy, his methodology, his recipe. Amen? That if we believe that it is God's desire that we be at peace, then that means that God is also making his peace available to us. But in order for you and I to actually receive, appropriate, and live in it, we've got to then exercise some certain things that we've got to do in order to receive God's peace. He says, first of all, you will be at peace with God. What that means is this: God is not your enemy when you put your hope and your trust in Jesus Christ. When you accept the finished work of Jesus, you are now a friend of God. That now his wrath is no longer directed at you,
But now his blessings are directed at you. His favor is directed at you. His peace is directed at you. When you're at peace with God, what God says is that I desire to commune with you. I desire to fellowship with you. I desire to abide with you and be present with you. And God says, if I am with you, I'm more than the whole world against you. Let me walk with you. But the only way I'm going to walk with you is if you receive the righteousness of my son, Jesus Christ, because you don't have any righteousness of your own, but he offers himself to you as a gift that you may be reconciled back to the Father. And so he says, I am willing to walk with you, but the only way I can walk with you is if you take your dirty clothes off and put on the robe of righteousness that's provided by Jesus Christ. Amen. And so when you're reconciled to God, you're at peace with him. And he is no longer extending wrath to you, but he is giving you his favor as one of his children. And he's allowing you to walk closely with him and provide you with all that you need for life. Here's the second thing. If you are walking with God, receiving the peace that comes through Jesus Christ, that means that you're also then going to have peace within. Amen? Peace within, because now God is going to be the one who lives in you by the power of his Holy Spirit. He's going to be the one that's regulating your thinking. He's going to be the one that's regulating your mind. He's going to be the one that's helping you to bring order to the chaos that has disturbed you. And so when he comes to live in you, he brings to you the opportunity to have peace within yourself. In order for you and I to do that, that means we've got to take advantage of the fact that he is with us. You've got to believe that God really is with you. Amen? And if you believe that God really is with you, it's going to affect the way you behave and the way you think. Amen. It will. If God came in the room right now and we were able to actually see him, oh, it would change everything. Think about this. When the president of the United States walks into a room, you normally have this whole pomp and circumstance that ushers him in. You hear the music, and especially in those formal settings, what do people do? They normally rise. They get up and stand for the president of the United States. Why? Because he holds the highest office in our land. Well, now, if folks will stand up for a man who was created just like you and me, who has to put his pants on one leg at a time just like you and me, who has to require or rely upon God to give him breath so that he can continue to live and breathe just like you and me, what should we do if God himself walks into the room? Amen. You're going to do two things. First, you're going to stand up, and then you're going to bow down. Because he is deserving of our acknowledgement. And here's the interesting thing about it. Whether you want to or not, that's what you will do. And thanks be to God, because we have been enlightened, we get the great privilege of doing it freely. And so when you're able to bow down and worship him freely, he sees you and he says, if you bow down before me, I will be the one to exalt you and lift you up. Amen. So he says that he is walking with you and me. And if we get it in our hearts and in our minds and in our spirits, that that's just not a theoretical walking with us, that he is actually with us, it's going to change the way we think and the way we act. Well, listen, if God is walking with you, why don't you spend some time talking to him? See, that's what cultivates inner peace, right? See, when your inner peace has been disturbed, that means that you're no longer thinking right. Amen. Your stuff is messed up. But if God is walking with you, you can have a conversation with God and you ain't even got to move your lips. And when you start talking to God, he can begin to straighten out all those areas where you are thinking wrong. And you talk with him as though he is your friend and as though he is present with you and as though he does and he is concerned about your well-being. We think about talking and communicating with God. We normally use language like praying. And of course, when you say the word prayer, people get all uptight because, you know, we got this formal structure tied around prayer. That when I get ready to pray, I got to close my eyes, bow my heads, and sometimes I got to get on my knees. Well, that's great. Sometimes you can assume that posture. But when you know that he is with you and that he is with you on a continual basis, you then learn to do what the Apostle Paul says, you pray without ceasing. That means you're talking to him on a regular basis about what's going on in your mind, what's going on in your heart, and what you see with your eyes. So that he can help you to know how to frame those thoughts so that you are not disturbed and you are not troubled, and that you remember that the same one who is with you is the one who sits high and who looks low. So you talk with him. You talk with him through prayer. You talk with him through his word. Don't you know that that's talking to God? We mentioned earlier that the word of God, as mentioned in Hebrews chapter 4, is alive, is active, is living, is active. That means that this Bible that you and I read is not a dead word. It's a word that has life. And so then when you sit down and you begin to read and interact with his word, you're interacting and listening and talking to God. Don't you remember in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Wait a minute. The Word. And the Word became flesh. He made his dwelling among us. It says that when you and I read this Word, we are in dialogue with God. So that means that you take time to read his Word so that when you're having a conversation with him, you're talking about the right things so that you can get your mind fixed on the right things so that then you can have peace. This is what it says in Isaiah 26:3, that you can keep your heart and mind in perfect peace when you keep it stayed up on him. And you keep it stayed up on him through meditation, through the reading and reflection of his word. Brothers and sisters, that's why it's good for you and I to hide God's word in our hearts. Because when his word is hidden in our hearts, what that means, we memorize it, we meditate on it, we chew on it, we think about it. When his word is hidden in our hearts, it becomes for us a filter by which you and I are able to look at all of life. Then we understand it from a perspective of where is God and what is God doing. And so if he is with us, we need to talk with him. We need to pray and read his word, and we need to trust his presence. That even when I can't feel him, because you know, I'm like you, I like to feel, I like to know, even when I can't sense his presence, the reality of knowing what he has declared brings me peace. That becomes the faith of it. God, I don't sense you right now. But here's what I know. I know that you are the ever-present God. Here's what I know. I know that you are the God who surrounds me with favor like a shield. Here's what I know, that even though I can't see you, I know you are there. And whatever it is that's keeping me from sensing your presence right now, it's not going to get in the way of me believing and knowing that you are standing with me. And therefore, because I know that you are the God who sees all, who hears all, and who knows all, I'm just going to stand right here and trust you and believe that you are with me. Gideon said to the angel of the Lord, God is with us. Why are we going through all of this stuff? It says, the angel of the Lord then, in verse 14, it moves from the angel of the Lord and it says, the Lord said to him, go in the strength you have
and save Israel out of the hand of Midian. And so you get from the angel of the Lord to the Lord. This particular scripture is for us a pre or a presentation of the pre-incarnate Son of God. Here's what that means. That's Jesus who showed up as the angel of the Lord talking to Gideon. Before he shows up as a baby in Mary's womb, he shows up talking to Gideon. We know this because two things are happening. First, it goes from the angel of the Lord to the Lord. That's the first thing. Nothing changed. He just changed the description to say, it's the Lord that is actually talking to you. Here's the second thing that happens. Gideon wants to make an offering unto the Lord. When Gideon wants to make this offering unto the Lord, he says to the angel that is talking to him, please stay here and let me go get the preparations for this offering. The angel says, I'll stay here until you get back. Gideon goes and prepares it and brings it back ready to make his offering. The angel of the Lord says to him, put it on this rock and pour out the broth that was with it. And when that happened, it says he took the staff that was in his hand and he touched the offering that Gideon had prepared. When he touched the offering that Gideon had prepared, fire went up from the rock. And when that happened, the angel of the Lord disappeared. This is a picture of Jesus coming to meet and talk to Gideon and to reveal himself as the Lord, our peace. The same Jesus is prophesied about in Isaiah chapter 9, when we are told that this child that's going to be given to us, this son that is going to be born, that he will be the Prince of Peace. This same one is going to come forth because he is going to be the peace giver. And so when you get to John chapter 14 and verse number 27, when Jesus says to his disciples, peace I give you, he is given to them himself with the realization that as long as you've got me and as long as you are walking in the knowledge that I am with you, that you can have peace, that peace is going to be with you, and that no matter what comes to you externally or internally, you can have peace because true peace comes through an experience with Jesus Christ. He says, don't get caught up with what your eyes see, but let your heart rest upon what your ears have heard and what the Spirit of the Lord has revealed to you. And he has said to you, I give you peace. I love this story about Gideon, and I encourage you to go read this story about Gideon, because Gideon is talking about things in this story that you and I can relate to. He says to the angel of the Lord, if all of this stuff is going on, if the Lord is with us, why is all of this stuff going on with me? And what I love about the angel of the Lord is he doesn't even address the question. Isn't that like God with us? You know how it is. We can get upset with God sometimes. We can get kind of put out with God sometimes. And we start asking the question, why? God doesn't even waste his time getting into the whys, because he knows you can't comprehend or handle the whys. He says, all you need to know is that I am with you and the whys don't matter. Whew. That if you could get that locked into your spirit that he is with you, you don't have to understand all the stuff that's going on. All you need to know is that he is with you. You know, it's interesting. As a student studying electrical engineering, we always talked about a black box. There will be something that goes into the black box, and on the other side,
of the black box. There was something that came out. There are many of us that don't understand what's happening in the black box, but we know that from this source, we get this particular use, and we can put it to work. Amen? Oh, okay. So you don't know how your microwave works. All you know is that you can open the door, put some food in it, push some buttons on a timer, start that thing, and food that was cold suddenly begins to heat up. You and I don't understand all the dynamics of how those waves are working within that little box, causing food that was cold to be made hot. But it certainly doesn't stop us from using it, does it? Everybody walks around with one of these little fellas right here called a smartphone these days, right? Oh, you don't know. Let's just tell the truth. You don't know. You don't understand all the concepts about how a wave gets from one point to the other. Let's be honest. We don't. If I were to have you explain to me the dynamics of how my voice in this phone reaches your ear through another phone, you'd be looking at me like, dude, why are you asking stuff like that? But even though I don't understand the travel, I don't understand all of the stuff that goes with it, it does not stop me from picking up this phone and using it to talk, using it to text, using it to surf, using it to do all of those little things that we use these individual phones for these days. Let me say, if you don't need to understand the whys of that little black box, why are you trying to understand the whys of a big God? All you need to know is that he is with you and that he is available for you and that he has made himself available to you. And what he's saying to you is, use me up. Use me until you use me up, knowing that he can't be used up. He said, stop trying to figure out the whys and just do what I told you to do, knowing that the result that I expected is going to come out. Unfortunately, many folks get stuck because they don't understand how God is going to do a thing. They won't do what God said do. And if you won't do what God said do, you won't experience what God wanted you to have. If you won't walk in the presence of God with the realization that God is with you, under the truth that you are with Jesus Christ, you won't be able to experience the peace that God wants to give you. If you're trying to find peace somewhere else, what you're going to discover is that that peace that you find is only going to be temporary and short-lived. That it will not be able to sustain the test of time. That it won't be able to get you through the troubles of this world. It's going to be temporary because only true peace is found in Jesus Christ. He says that when you recognize that you are with him and when you walk in the truth of what he declares, he says it does not matter what you're going through, that as long as he is with you, he is going to see you through. And so peace doesn't mean the absence of trouble, the absence of problems. What peace means is that while I'm going through it, I have a God that is able to stabilize my life, who is able to give me stability, who is able to enable me to walk from day to day with the absolute realization that his grace is sufficient to keep me and his power is sufficient to deliver me. When you read the story of Gideon, what you're going to discover is that when the angel of the Lord said to him, mighty warrior, he was describing something Gideon didn't know about himself. God tells you things about yourself that you don't know. And what you and I got to do is listen to him. And even though you can't see it in yourself, God can see it. And if you stay with him and obey his commands, he's going to allow what he has declared to come to pass in your life and to display to the world who you are. He says, you are a mighty warrior. Go in the strength that you have. Why? Here's your strength. When God is with you, he's all the strength that you need. Amen. What that means is I've stopped relying upon my strength. I've stopped relying upon my intellect. I've stopped relying upon my resources, and I step into what he provides. To know this, that he has the cattle on a thousand hills. So if he is the source, I'm going to have all the resources that I need. Amen. That he is the giver of wisdom. So if there's a problem that I can't figure out, no problem at all, because he is the one who knows it all. And if I can't get the answer, he's going to send somebody with the answer to help me out. And he's a battle. He's a warrior that never lost a battle. And when there's an enemy that's pressing up against me that is too strong, if I go in his strength, there is no giant that won't fall. Amen. It is the idea that I'm stepping out of my own strength and I am walking into him, because when I am weak, that's when I am strong. And when I walk in him, suddenly there's a peace about me. My situation may not have changed, but now I am walking in his peace. The angel of the Lord shows up to Gideon to say to Gideon, you need to go and you can take care of these Midianites, because they are pressing up against you. Even though you feel like you're the least in your tribe and that you're the weakest in your tribe, don't worry, because I am with you. If you read to the end of the story, what you discover is that God shows up in a mighty way, and he takes Gideon, this man who thought himself to be weak, and he takes Gideon along with 299 other men. Well, maybe it was 300 total. And they go and they defeat this army that outnumbered them, all because God was with him and Gideon was able to walk through his fear and experience God's peace and God's deliverance. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that we have a God who desires to give us peace. I gave you a scripture, Psalm 85 and 10. Hopefully you remembered that one. He says, righteousness and peace kiss each other. The idea that the person who walks in righteousness is also going to experience peace. Isaiah 32 and 17 says this, the work of righteousness is peace. Then in Isaiah 54 and 10, we're reminded that God gives a covenant of peace. He says that it won't be removed. Then in Isaiah 60 and verse 17, he says that he will allow peace to be your governor. Peace will be the one that leads you, guides you, and direct you. In Acts chapter 27, there's an interesting story that is told about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is nearing the end of his life. But he has to go to Rome because he has been arrested. He is going to be taken to Rome by way of ship, guarded by soldiers. When they're getting ready to leave, they're nearing the winter season, the storm season, and Paul says to them, maybe we shall wait until this season has passed before we continue on. Those who were carrying him were determined that they needed to make that trip and needed to get there quickly. So they decided then that they would set sail toward Rome. It's unfortunate that once they got out to sea and set sail, that a ferocious storm came up against them. So much so that it threatened their well-being in their lives. Soldiers began to throw over the cargo, began to throw over the ship's tackle and everything else that was on the ship because of their fear that they were going to be destroyed. Luke, who is the writer of Acts, tells the story, and he says that as we were traveling, we lost all hope because we thought we were not going to make it. Then one day, the Apostle Paul stood up. As the folks had been battling this storm that had robbed them of their security, that had robbed them of their peace, that had thought, made them think that their lives would end at sea and that they were not going to make it, the Apostle Paul stood up and said, y'all should have listened to me when I told y'all not to set sail. He says, but don't worry. Don't worry. An angel of the Lord spoke to me last night and said that we're going to make it. That not one life will be lost, all but your ship. You can forget about your ship. You can forget about your goods, but your life will be spared. And suddenly, where they had lost hope, where peace had been disrupted, now at the word of the Apostle Paul, hope is restored and peace is granted, even though they're still in the middle of the storm. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what storm you may be going through. I don't know what thing may have disrupted your peace. But I've got good news for you. The Spirit of the living God says that you are not to worry. That the very thing that you are going through, that he will see you through it. That all you've got to do is trust in him and believe. And know that what he has begun in you, he will also see it to completion. That all you and I will have to do is stand upon his word and wait for his deliverance. And at the appointed time, he is going to cause your situation to be turned around so that his name is glorified and so that you are delivered. He says, don't worry. Listen, don't worry. No, really, don't worry. Stop staying up at night worrying. Haven't you discovered that worrying hasn't delivered you? Have you not discovered that all the worry that you've been doing has not brought about a solution to you? He said, don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry. But by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, prayer, talking to God, supplication, making your requests known to him. He says that let his peace rest upon you. So stop worrying, because worrying is not the solution. Here's the solution. Put your hope and your trust in Jesus Christ, the one who is able to save and deliver. Put your confidence in him, in whom death, hell, and the grave couldn't stop him. Put your confidence in the one who was able to walk on water. And even though the wind was blowing and tossing the ships to and fro, he had the ability to say, peace, be still. Now put your hope in the one that when those who were covered with leprosy came to him, he was able to say to them, it's going to be all right. The healer is here. Stop worrying and put your hope in him. Oh, if you are being tormented, if demons are coming against you, if they are terrorizing, put your hope in him. Put your hope in the one who met the man and that demoniac who was living in a tomb, who was covered up with demons, filled up with demons, so many demons that they called themselves legion. And when he came upon him, they said, why are you torturing us? And he had only one concern, come up out of that man. Put your hope in the one who is able to speak to the demon possessed, who is able to speak to demons and cause them to flee. Stop worrying. It does not matter about your resources. Put your hope in his resources. He says that if you would put your hope and your confidence in him, that you will not be disappointed. God promises that every man, that every woman who puts their hope, who puts their trust in him, will never, ever be put to shame. God says, don't worry, put your hope in him and in him alone. He says, if you would put your hope in him, you'll not be overcome by worry, but instead you'll walk in peace. You may not have the answer, but you'll be able to look at everybody else and say, the one that's got my back got me covered. Mm-hmm. Stop worrying. Listen, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace. Joy has a visible expression. Amen. Joy does not look like you've been eating on crackers, sucking on lemons, right? That's not what joy looks like. Joy has a visible expression. Joy looks like you have confidence to know that trouble don't last always. Joy looks like the fact that even though it may be hard right now, he's going to deliver me. And because he's going to deliver me, I'm not going to wait for my deliverance. I'm going to go ahead and get my shout on now. Joy has a visible expression. And so may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace. Why the God of hope? Because you don't have what you need yet. And so you need the God of hope, the one who is going to come through for you to fill you with joy and peace. So even though you don't have what you're looking for yet, you know it's coming. And so with hopefulness and joy and peace, you meet the new day that God has given you. Yes, you rise and you say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, I might be broke, but I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, I may have a little pain in my back, but I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, I may be grieving a little bit, but I'm going to turn my grief into joy. Yes, because I'm going to walk with him and let the God of hope fill me with joy and peace. This is only in Jesus that I can experience true peace. Not a fake peace, but a true peace that allows healing to come into my body, that allows healing to come into my soul, that allows healing to heal my emotions and my brokenness. Because when true peace shows up, you and I will never, ever be the same. Amen. Praise God. Amen. 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 Mm.